for joining us for this week's podcast from Awakening Church.
Everybody give it up for Pawpaw this morning. Thank you, sir. So absolutely, immediately following the service, we're going to be doing this auction, all right? Isn't God good? Y'all must be dead after that worship, and I don't know why. Isn't God good? Listen, I'm just going to be honest. I was going slap on end back there. In the drum cage. That's why I almost got off beat. I didn't know what to do. That's okay, though. Oh, my goodness. Guys, for weeks, I've been sitting and I've been contemplating what the Lord wants me to speak, and I'm already getting emotional because it's thick. I've heard time after time after time after time of somebody feels disqualified. Somebody went through a mess and they don't know how to come back. They feel disqualified. They don't think that they can continue to do what God's called them to do. But I've come to tell you today that you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. And you are qualified. You know what's odd? I've preached this message before, but I told the Lord, I said, you know, I want to do this from a different perspective because I've had a perspective shift. Time out. Holy Ghost. Kids, you can be dismissed to Mr. Ricky. I'm so sorry. I forgot about that. Bless him in Jesus' name. Whew. Listen, he just done got me wrapped up, Ricky, and I was just going. I'm sorry. So I've preached this before, but from a different perspective. And I said, God, how do you see this? What is this? And he took me to the book of Jonah. How many of you know Jonah in the belly of a whale? Right? We all know that story. And so in Jonah chapter 1, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah and said, 'Arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.'" So Jonah got a word from the Lord to go. But what did he do? It says, but Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. However you say it. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. Now, I don't know if there's anybody in the room like myself, because I'm preaching, I know that I'm preaching for myself today. How many know that God's called you to get up to go do something, and maybe you've said, I don't know if I can do that or not. Jonah went as far as to run as far away as he could because he thought that he could escape the presence of God. He thought that he could escape what the Lord was telling him to do. That's where he messed up. And it says, so he gets on the boat and the Lord hurls a powerful wind over the seas. And the sailors shouted to their gods for help and threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship because they didn't know what was going on. Jonah just is asleep in the bottom of this ship and they don't know what's going on. They're thinking, what have we done? So the captain says, "Sleeper! What are you doing? How are you asleep right now? There's a storm going on." And he gets up and they cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused this terrible storm. When they did, it identified Jonah as the culprit. And they asked him, said, "Why have this awful storm come down on us? Who are you? What have you done? What kind of work are you in?" And Jonah says, "Well, what I forgot to tell you when I got on the boat was, I'm a prophet. I'm a Hebrew prophet, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." Jonah's decision was affecting everyone around him. Jonah was affecting, but what he didn't realize is, well, I didn't tell them this, so they're not gonna, they don't have to worry about this because I'm running from the presence of God. He says, throw me into the sea and it will be calm again. I know it's a terrible storm and this is all my fault. You know what the sailors did? They kept rowing. They kept rowing. Why? Because they didn't want to throw somebody off the boat. That this is the problem. We don't want to forget. We don't want to shut somebody out of our lives because this might be the issue right now. Hello. This might be the issue right now, and I've got to get in his presence, and I've got to get in his face. When Jonah fled from the Lord, he wanted to put a distance between himself and the place where God's tangible presence rested with the people. He didn't want God's nearness. He didn't want to hear his voice and have awareness of his presence. And if you're like me, there was a time in my life where I didn't want God's presence. I did everything that I could do to run away from him. But I heard a song yesterday and it wrecks me every single time. It says that there's no place that I can go that his love won't find me. There's no place that I can hide that he doesn't see. When I try to run from his presence, when I try to get out of his glory, he's coming after and he's saying, hey, I'm right here. All you've got to do is surrender your life to me. I'm right here. He was merely running from someplace. He was trying to run from someone. Jonah didn't see this. All he saw was God said, go to Nineveh. Well, what do we know about Nineveh? Nineveh was a wicked city. A great wicked city. So he was like, no, not going to do it. Because he wasn't looking through a spiritual eye. He was looking through his natural eyes and saying, not happening. He wasn't looking through a spiritual eye that said, when I go over there and when I preach and I declare the word of the Lord, that it's going to set the captives free. So what happened in the meantime? He went on his own and he did what he wanted to do. How many know that there is an adversary who's trying to steal and kill and to destroy the destiny that God has on your life? We have an adversary. Listen, he's nothing. I'm just going to let you all know right now, he's nothing. All I'm going to do is build Jesus a bigger throne in this situation. I'm not going to pay the devil any attention whatsoever. I'm just going to build Jesus a bigger throne in this situation. I know that God's calling some of you to something this morning and that you might be saying, no, God, this isn't what I can do right now. It doesn't look right in my natural eye, but let me tell you something this morning. I'm telling you that if you'll get God's perspective, if you'll get your spiritual eyes and say, okay, God, I don't know what this looks like, but I'm going after it because my vision is clear and my vision is for you. And God, I want you to do what you can do. I don't want to put my fingerprint on something and totally mess something up. I told the young people this Wednesday night, I said, guys, I just want to tell you, you have purpose. Awakening Church, we have purpose. This morning, March 5th, we have purpose. We have a vision that it's the most saved city in America. We have a vision to see God's kingdom come and will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What's amazing about God? What's amazing about God is that you may think that you were in a mess. You may think that your sins, that former life that you had, that BC life, I joke about it all the time. I'm like, that was BC. Let me just tell you that story, BC. Thank God he redeemed me. But I'm telling you, don't get stuck in your old mindset. Don't get stuck with those natural eyes. Don't get stuck where you were. This does not disqualify you. Your past does not disqualify you. He still has a purpose, and God's called you to greater. God wants to use you and to do things that nobody else in this world can do. Do you know that, again, you have one fingerprint? Nobody else on this world has the fingerprint that you have. Nobody. Nobody can try to make it up. Whatever. Nobody has the same fingerprint as you. Nobody has the same destiny on their life that you do. And the enemy knows that. The enemy knows that this morning. He knows that he's trying to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I said, be sober. 1 Peter chapter 8 says, be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He walks around like a lion. He's not the lion of the tribe of Judah, but he tries to portray himself as a lion, so that he tries to portray his voice is higher than his voice. I think y'all missed that. Can I tell you this morning that your mistake, what you thought that you were going through, that your mistake can become the starting point for God's miracle in your life? Hey. Your mistake can be the starting point of God's miracle in your life. Can I tell you that I once went through a season of rebellion? I once went through a season where I didn't want anything. I didn't want God's presence in my life. But can I tell you today that I had my moment with God, and I said, God, I can't do this anymore. I can't live the life that I was living anymore. It's not doing anything for me. God, what do I have to do? And you know, if I told Pawpaw to turn all these lights off right now, don't do it, but if I told him to turn all these lights off right now, in that darkness, he was right here.
Hey.
In the darkness, he was right here. All I had to do was flip the light on. All I had to do was flip the light on. We know how dark a situation can be. All you have to do is flip the light on. Whew, Jesus. He's not condemning you. His grace is sufficient. He's not condemning you. If you are hearing this in condemnation, that's the devil. I've come to tell you today that I'm speaking life to your situation. I'm speaking life to your destiny. I'm speaking life to your vision today. That no longer you're going to leave here and you're not going to have the same perspective as you did when you walked in the door. Your troubles, your past, all that's not going to look the same. You're going to walk out and you're going to be, listen, you're going to be walking like you just got a brand new suit. Anybody got a brand new suit? Anybody ever put a brand new suit on? You look just fly. And you feel it too. Can I tell you today that when you leave this place, you're never going to be the same. One moment in his presence can change your life forever. One moment in his presence can change your life forever. The Holy Ghost told me this, and I texted this to Briston. I said, listen, I'm coming to stir some things up today. I said, I'm coming to restore some hope. I'm coming to mend. He's coming to mend the brokenhearted. This is what the Holy Ghost is telling me. I'm coming to mend the brokenhearted. I'm coming by to stir the joy that was lost in your life. I'm coming. Oh, ha, neboshata mande bebeke. Woo! I've come to stir the gift of God on the inside of you today. He's come to give you life and life more abundantly. He's not disappointed in you. He's got big plans for you. It's not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the living God. Yes. I'm telling you, church, if he can do it for me, he can do it for you. If he can do it for me, he can do it for you. No matter your situation, no matter what you've gone through, destiny, life, your calling that you have, can I tell you, you're not too old. You're not too young. I think that sometimes we get this mindset of, well, I'm too old to do what God's called me to do, so I'm just going to live vicariously through someone else. No, You're never too old. Let me break the lie of the enemy over your life. Let me break that word that's been spoken over you that you're too old and say that you're not. You are His. You are the apple of His eye. Everything that He has for you, Jeremiah 29:11, that He knows the plans that He has for you, plans to prosper you, plans to give you a hope, plans to give you a future. You're never too old, and your past doesn't qualify you. Your past doesn't disqualify what God's put on the inside of you. Can I tell you today that your detour does not change your destination? Can I tell you your detour today does not change your destination? And something else, it doesn't change God's mind. Today I want you to walk in your future. I want you to leave your past behind. You say, Ryan, I can't do that. Yes, you can. And you know what the amazing part about it is? We're a kingdom family. We are a kingdom family. So that what you're struggling with, what you've been struggling with, guess what? I've already paid a price. He's already paid a price. And you don't have to walk the same way that I walked. My children, I'm prophesying this in the name of Jesus, that my children will not walk the same path that I walked. They won't know 1 minute without the presence of the Holy Ghost. They won't know a walk without Him. They won't touch a bottle of alcohol. They won't touch a joint, and they won't touch a crack pipe. Can I tell you? That's the same thing about you today. I'm speaking life to your situation. Whatever you're going through, whatever you've gone through, can I tell you, you just shake it off. You shake it off in the presence of the Lord. Walk in your future today. The devil wants to blind you. He wants to destroy you. And it's so important to remember that when we put the past behind us and securely grasp who we are and commit to the one who calls us forward, we realize the power of passionately pursuing God's purpose in our lives every day. Can I tell you that when you put your past behind you and securely grasp who you are and see the identity that God puts on your life and see yourself through the lens that God sees you, you can securely grasp that, and nothing can change that. I don't care what any man or woman in this room says or outside of this room, you can't do it. If someone told me, Ryan, you're never going to hunt again, the devil. I'm not going to live under that. The devil is a liar. I'm not, nope, not happening. When someone tells me, Ryan, you're going to fall again. No, I'm not. When somebody tells me, Ryan, you're not worth it. The devil is a liar. Because he says I'm worth it. And he sees me through the lens of love. He speaks an identity over me that says, son, I love you. Son, I am proud of you. Son, keep walking the way that you're walking. Keep hiding yourself in the secret place so that you may find me. Keep going the way that you're going. Have those hinds feet that you preached about when you're going up the mountain of devotion, that you're the most sure-footed animal on the mountain. Yes. Yes. Nobody in this world can come against what God has called you to do. Nobody. If God's given you the vision, He's given you the resources. God didn't look at your obstacle before He gave you His promise. He didn't look at your obstacle and think, well, you know what? He's going to have to go up this mountain. So you know what? I don't know if I can give him this. No. What he said was, I'm not going to give you more than you can handle. So I'm going to give you what I see. I'm going to give you this destiny and this vision to go after me 110%. And out of that will come where I'm taking you. I'm not concerned about the mountain. I'm not concerned about the troubles and the trials that may come. I'm not concerned about that. What I'm concerned about is that you stay steadfast, that you keep your hinds feet, that you walk up that mountain as sure-footed as you know how to, and that you seek me. And in seeking me, I will hide you in the cleft of the rock. Yeah. I will speak life. I will speak identity over you. Don't let man come in and speak something over you that I haven't already told you about yourself. Right. Don't let man come in and steal what I've done. Right. It's not worth it. Can I tell you it's not worth it today? God qualified you by his blood on Calvary. When he shed his blood on Calvary, he had you in mind. And I know we've heard that. When he shed his blood on Calvary, that qualified you to do the work of his. When you felt like you were going nowhere, grace showed up on the scene. When you felt like you were stuck and you didn't know how to handle a situation, guess what? He said, my grace is sufficient. Can I say today that I thank God he's the God of a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth chance? Can I tell you that? Can I tell you that when Jonah was in the belly of a whale, let me read something. He said, Jonah prayed unto the Lord from inside the fish. He said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble. And what? He answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead. And Lord, guess what? You heard me. He hears you today. He hears you today. Whatever the situation may look like, he hears you. Don't think that his arm is too short, because it's not. Don't think he's going to turn a deaf ear and say, I don't want anything to do with you. No, that's not what he says at all. So you threw me into the ocean depths and I sank down to the heart of the sea. The mighty waters engulfed me. I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves. Then I said, oh Lord, you have driven me from your presence, yet I will look once more. Come on, I will look once more toward your holy temple. I sank beneath the waves and the waters closed over me. Seaweed wrapped itself around me inside my head. Something wrapped around him, and guess what? He couldn't see. He didn't have a vision at that point, but he knew what to do. He cried out to the Lord. It said, you, oh God, snatched me from the jaws of death. Has he snatched anybody from the jaws of death this morning? I can say amen to that, and amen, and amen, and amen to that. He said, as my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. Those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's mercies. But I will sacrifice to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill my vows, for my salvation comes from the Lord alone. He cried out in the depths of the sea. He said, God, will you help me? I don't know what kind of crying you've been doing this week, this month, this year, but God has heard your cry. He wants to come and set you free today. Do you not see that? Can I tell you something? And I'm almost done. I can promise you this, because I feel like the Lord really wants to do something. He's already done something, but I really feel like he's got more work to do. Can I share with you about a car? Can I tell you that your past does not define you? I want you to hear me when I say that your past does not define you. And let me say this. You're driving the car of life. Did you know that there's a reason? Y'all better catch this. There's a reason that your rear view mirror is smaller than your windshield. That your rear view mirror is smaller than your windshield. Why? Because you're not supposed to look behind you. You're supposed to look in front of you and get the vision that God has for you. Can I tell you that when your windshield gets dirty, what do? You just wipe it and you wash it. Can you say this morning, God, just wipe me and wash me. God, wipe me and wash me. Let me tell you about another part of your rear view mirror. Can I tell you, there's a little cool feature now on these bougie cars that y'all be having. They got a little button. But on them old school cars, on my work truck, I'll tell you right now, it's got a little thing on the bottom of it. What do? You flip it when you see a glare and you don't want to see something behind you. Can I tell you this morning that what you need to do is when you're looking in your windshield of life and you're looking at the vision and the destiny that God has for you and the devil tries to do something behind you, I just want you to take that rearview mirror and flip it up. Better yet, why don't you just rip that thing off the windshield and go for what God's got for you? I just want to rip it off today. As Bane says, I could storm hell with a water pistol right now. I just want to rip it off. I want to rip off what the devil's put behind me. What's behind me. I don't want to look at that anymore. I don't want to have that perspective of looking behind me thinking, well, I did this, it doesn't matter. I did this, it doesn't matter. I did this, I still love you. I did this, it doesn't matter. Can I tell you that I went through a stage of my life where I felt like, and this was even after that I had recommitted my life to Christ, we were down at the place. How many of y'all know what a fire tunnel is? Woo! Hallelujah. Can I tell you, we went through at the end of service, we went through a fire tunnel and I said, well, you know what? I'm just trying to get a dose of the ghost. That's what I'm trying to do right now, is just get a dose of this ghost, because it was thick. And you know, I had been battling been having this mental battle, and I'd been struggling back and forth with God. I really don't feel qualified because I was an alcoholic. God, I did drugs. I did the most stupid things you could ever do in your life. God, I was raised in a Christian home. Like, I shouldn't have been doing this. I'm not qualified, and blah, 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 because my mind was tied to an old system. Can I say that when I went through that tunnel and I was like, whew, all right, I'm dancing. I'm like, yes, Jesus. And I threw my hands up. And can I tell you, I was still having that battle with the Lord. I was still having that battle. And I remember like it was last night or earlier today. I remember a hand reach over top of these preachers and these apostles and all this. They reached over top and he put his hand on me and it felt huge. And I was like, oh Lord Jesus. I had my eyes closed, y'all. Walking just by faith, not by sight. Hallelujah. I was walking and I felt this hand come over top of me. And it said, Ryan, the Lord said you're not disqualified. And I said, what? This can't be. The Lord said you're not disqualified, that your past does not define you. And I looked up and you know who it was? It was Ryan Bain. He had his hand on me. He said, son, let me tell you, your past has not disqualified you. Briston, your past has not disqualified you. And I broke in that moment and I said, God, I've been having this battle, and God, I'm sorry, but God, I want to see me the way that you see me. God, I want to just walk this thing out with you. I just want to be where you are. I can't get out of your presence. For your glory, God, I will do anything just to see you, just to behold you as my king. I didn't want anything else. And today I'm telling you that it's worth it. as they sang this morning, it's worth it. He's worth it. Nothing in this world can satisfy that. Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. Your presence is heaven to me. Come on, stand to your feet. Your presence is heaven to me. Your presence is heaven to me. God, we just want to be where you are this morning. We can't live a day without you. We've tried. God, we've tried to do it our own way. We've tried to be like Jonah. God, and we've run to the furthest points of the world, away from your presence. And God, what did that do for us? Nothing. What did that do for us? Nothing. God, we've paid a fare. God, we've paid a fare to get away from you. We've spent money, whatever that looks like, to run away. But God, we just want your presence. That's where we want to be. That's where we want to be this morning, Awakening Church, is that we just want to be in his presence. Nothing else in this world is going to do but his presence. The Holy Ghost said, I have come to restore your joy. I've come to restore hope. I'm reading this again. To the brokenhearted. I've come to stir the gift of God on the inside of you that you thought was dead. I've come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly and to show you who you really are in me and that you are amazing. You know, I got a thing from a friend of mine at work this yesterday, and it was this evangelist and whatever. But the word said, you are amazing. You are worth something. And you're worth everything to me. So today, he's come to give you life. He's come to tell you that you're worth it. That he's worth it. That he has big plans for you. And that it's not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the living God who lives on the inside of you. Who loves you, who wants to be in a relationship with you. Can I tell you, he wants to be in a relationship with you this morning. He wants to give you his eyes that burn like fire. Just one touch of his presence will change you forever. This morning, I encourage you again, don't let your vision become blurred because you're hanging on to what you've done in your past. I have come to set you free today and tell you that it does not matter. So, Father, we thank you. God, we thank you for a life-changing word from you. God, today we say that we will walk out of here different and we won't ever look in our rearview mirror again. God, that we'll rip that thing off the front windshield. That we want you and only you, God. That only you will do. Nothing else in this world is going to satisfy. That you alone are God. And there's no other God like you because there is no other God. That you are the one who's waiting on us. God, today, we give you our yes. God, we give you our yes. We say, God, that it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it sounds like. God, we're going to take our fingerprints off of it and let yours be the only one. God, we don't want any control. I don't want any control, God, of what you've got for my life. All I want is your face. All I want is your presence. All I've got to have is your glory today. That's all I'm after is your glory. That's all I'm after is your glory. I want a relationship, God. God, I want an intimacy with you like no other. God, today I want to go deeper in you than I've ever gone before in my life. God, if the elders can see a different side of you every time they spin around and all this kind of stuff, God, I expect to see a different side of you today. I expect to see a different side of God today. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. You're waiting on us, God. He's waiting on you today to just say yes. He's waiting on you to grasp that vision and that destiny that he put inside of you a long time ago. The devil, I don't know who I'm talking to, the devil tried to come steal you at an early age. The devil tried to come and do some things to you when you were just a kid. And the devil thought that he had you because he gave you the wrong identity. But I promise you today that he doesn't have you anymore. I promise you today, and I speak over your life, and I say that God has not forgotten about you. God has not forgotten about the destiny that he put on the inside of you, and nothing is impossible with God. That you may think that it looked a whole lot bigger and you didn't know how you were going to do it. But he wants to tell you today, the only way that you're going to be able to do it is to seek his face. Get in his presence. Get in the secret place. Get under the shadow of the Almighty. Come get in the shadow of the Almighty today. I speak over your life and I say that no weapon formed against you shall prosper in the name of Jesus. I speak that prophetically today, that no matter what the situation is that you're going through, no matter what it looks like, no matter if you feel disqualified, that God's blood, that Jesus' blood that he shed on Calvary was enough. Come on, I just want you to pray. Come on, I just want you to pray. God's doing something. He's doing something. He's doing something. Come on, let's raise up some prayers in the house. I speak over those word curses that were put over your life long ago, that you weren't worth it, that you weren't ever going to amount to anything, that the devil was going to steal you and you were going to hell. I'm breaking that mindset in the name of Jesus. I'm breaking that mindset in the name of Jesus. I'm saying to hell with that mindset, because that's where it came from, in the name of Jesus. Rabababa sirebe mamandururuboku. Come on, if you're hungry for him this morning, if you're hungry for him, if you're hungry for a new perspective on him this morning, I want you to cry out. You can come to the altars, we'll pray, you can stay in your seat and seek him, but I just want to get in his face this morning. I don't want to be anywhere else but his face. I don't want anything else, because what I've done in my past doesn't disqualify me for where he's gotten me going. If that was you that I was speaking over this morning prophetically about, that you went through some stuff, and you don't have to come to me right now unless you just want to, but I feel that God is wanting to do a work in you, and the devil right now is lying to you and telling you that you're not worth it as we speak. And I bind that in the name of Jesus. And I don't even pay any attention to you, because you are the voice of a liar. And I just built Jesus a bigger throne in this place. There is a freedom in this house this morning. There's a freedom in this house this morning. You don't have to leave the way that you came, folks. Can I tell you, you don't have to leave with that mindset. God, we thank you. God, we thank you. Jesus, we say that you're beautiful. We say that you're beautiful. We say that we look into your eyes of fire, and we say that you're beautiful. God, we worship you. God, I'm thankful that your grace is sufficient. I am thankful that your grace is sufficient. God, that you're worthy of it all. That you're worthy of it all. That you, God, are worthy. There's no one like you. If you say, Ryan, I don't know what you're talking about, man. I feel this tugging on the inside of me and I don't know what it is. Let me tell you what it is. It's the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus wooing you to come closer to him. If that's you this morning, I've promised from day one when I told God that I would preach. I was called to preach at a young age and I ran from it. But I told God when I recommitted my life to him, I said, God, I promise you that I will never. Number one, I will preach the word. But number two, I will never let an opportunity go by that I don't give a call for salvation. And I'm sticking by that word. And I don't care how awkward it may sound and or be. So if there's anybody in the room this morning that, you know what, you say, hey, Ryan, listen, I haven't given my life to Christ. I just don't know what to do. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want you to raise your hand. If that's you, that you've never given your life to Christ, or that you've strayed from him, you've ran as far away as you could, you've paid a fare, you've gone away from him, today he wants to invite you. There's an invitation for you today to come to him with open arms. And you know what? All you got to do is flip the light on. In your darkness, all you got to do is flip the light on. These altars are open. These altars are open. We're just going to stay right here. If that's uncomfortable, sorry. We're just going to stay right here. We're just going to worship him. We're going to create him a bigger throne this morning. Even bigger than what the worship team already brought. We're going to continue that. We're going to continue that. We're going to continue that. Oh.
Thank you for joining us for this week's podcast from Awakening Church. You can find us at 1725 Research Drive in Louisville, Kentucky, or online at awakeningky.com.